البيان راديو presents the following special presentation from مسجد الأزهر بومو.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد, first and foremost, I would like to welcome our brothers and sisters to the seminar tonight, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it a benefit for us all. As you are all aware, the topic which was chosen for tonight's seminar, which the previous mashayikh before me have already shed great light into, is the madhab or the methodology of the four imams, in particular in aqidah. And this topic in itself is of great importance for a number of reasons, and two in particular. And a topic like this, which was selected and chosen by our beloved Shaykh Khalid Isa, the Amir of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in New South Wales, may Allah reward him. A topic like this is chosen for two reasons, in my opinion. Number one, to shed light on the reality of the aqidah of the four imams, to show that the four imams in particular, rahimahumullah, they were upon the methodology and the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the aqidah of the Salaf al-Salih, which is the aqidah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the second reason would be to show that these four imams are innocent and free from every other aqidah and methodology that exists, because their aqidah and methodology was one, and that is the kitab and the sunnah. But it is for this reason, in my opinion, that these topics are of great importance and why they get selected. Tonight I'll be touching on Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah and his methodology in aqidah. I will try bi-idhnillah to sum it up in 10 main points, if Allah allows us, even though our time is very short. First and foremost, it is his right upon us that we begin with a brief introduction to the Imam. His kunya was Abu Abdullah. His name was Muhammad ibn Idris ibn al-Abbas ibn Uthman ibn Shafi' ibn al-Sa'ib ibn Ubaid ibn Abd Yazid ibn Hashim ibn al-Muttalib ibn Abd Manaf al-Matlabi, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his grandfather, going back. But as we can see, he is from the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born in the year 150 Hijri in the land of Gaza, and he passed away in Egypt in the year 204. So he lived for 54 years, rahimahullah. Imam al-Shafi'i, the great mountain of knowledge, he was very clear. He was very clear in his madhab in both aqidah and fiqh. This is the first thing that we have to understand, just like the rest of the imams. They were all very clear, my brothers and sisters, in their aqidah, in madhab, in aqidah and fiqh. And he was upon the way of the Salaf. And Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, when you read into his works and into his life, you will find that he took very strong stances towards the people of innovations, and in particular the mutakallimin, the people of kalam, of philosophy and whatever else. And he was known for his famous verdict, his famous fatwa regarding the mutakallimin, that under the Sharia law, they should be lashed and made an example of in the street, and it should be called out that this is the jaza, this is the recompense for the one who leaves the book and the sunnah. That was Imam al-Shafi'i's fatwa regarding the people of philosophy. And for that reason, he was titled, rahimahullah, as Nasir al-Sunnah, the supporter of the Sunnah. That was his title given to him in Iraq. Because of his manhaj in his creed, many people from the innovators repented at his hands. One of his famous students and his companion also, by the kunya of Abu Thawr, rahimahullah, he said, if Allah did not bless me with a Shafi'i, I would have met Allah as a deviant. If Allah did not bless me with the companionship of Imam al-Shafi'i, I would have met Allah as a deviant. So this in itself shows us, my dear brothers and sisters, that Imam al-Shafi'i, being the mountain of knowledge as a scholar of fiqh, he was a mountain in aqeedah, something that not many people are aware of. The first point we would like to mention is that his madhab is not only a madhab of fiqh, it is a madhab of aqeedah also. So in order to be a true Shafi'i, for those who follow the Shafi'i madhab, it is important that a person adopts everything from Imam al-Shafi'i, both his creed and his fiqh, and the same applies to the rest of the a'imma, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Ahmad, and so forth, rahimahumullah. And that's why his student, Al-Isfirayini, rahimahullah, he said, my madhab and the madhab of Shafi'i and all the scholars, look, my madhab and the madhab of Shafi'i and all the scholars is that the Qur'an is the word of Allah. That's his madhab. The Qur'an, the word of Allah, is that a mas'ala in fiqh or is it a mas'ala in aqeedah? It's a mas'ala of aqeedah. So one of the greatest misconceptions that could be put out there is that Imam al-Shafi'i or any of the a'imma were only scholars of fiqh. Absolutely not. They were upholders of the aqeedah first and foremost before everything. The second point is regarding Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah exalting and putting the text, meaning the Qur'an and the Sunnah, above everything else. And because of time, my dear brothers, wallahi, there's so much stuff that you can speak about. There's many books that have been written about the aqidah of these imams. You can go back to them. But if we were to take out certain points, there are many. So the Qur'an and the Sunnah were above everything to Imam al-Shafi'i. And that's why he said in one of his famous works that we do not say about an asl. An asl meaning The Quran or the Sunnah. He said, we do not say about an asl why. Why is this or why is that? He said, and we do not say how. He said, rather we say why or how to the branches. Meaning the usul, the foundation, the kitab and the sunnah, we don't question. We accept them as they are. We say sami'na wa ata'na. If you want to question anything, question the branches. As for the asl, we do not say why or how. This automatically gives us a small insight into Imam al-Shafi'i and how he glorified the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. When he spoke about the obligation to obeying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Allah has commanded, that we obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Imam al-Shafi'i spoke about the obedience to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah did not legislate disobedience for anyone from His creation other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, what is Imam al-Shafi'i telling us? That obedience is to Allah and His Messenger. And it was not legislated for anyone else. He also said in one of his famous statements, if you find in my book anything which opposes the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then take the sunnah and leave my saying. If you find in my book anything that opposes the sunnah, then take the sunnah and leave my saying. These great imams, my dear brothers, they all have the same agenda. To direct you as a Muslim to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how the madhahib are treated. They are guides that lead us to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding this point, he was once asked, do you take the hadith? Imam al-Shafi'i was once asked, do you accept hadith? So he replied, if a hadith is authentic to me, and you find that I do not take it, pay attention to his words. If a hadith is sahih and you find that me, Imam al-Shafi'i, do not take that hadith, then bear witness that I have lost my mind. I'm insane. What did he say? If the hadith is authentic and I do not take it, then I allow you to testify and bear witness that me, al-Shafi'i, I have lost my mind. These types of statements, my dear brothers and sisters, show us the methodology of these great imams. They were not people that called to themselves. And they were not people that wanted you to even follow them. Rather, they are the great mountains that directed us to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the ulama by the name of Al-Buwaiti, he was once reading to his students that Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said that tayammum is two strikes of the earth. Al-Buwaiti teaching the students that Imam al-Shafi'i said that tayammum is to hit the ground twice. And we know that the sunnah is that the ground is hit once in tayammum. So when the students informed Al-Buwaiti that the hadith says to strike the ground once, Al-Buwaiti automatically corrected his book And he said that Imam Shafi'i himself said, if you find a hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then throw my saying away and take the hadith, for the hadith is my opinion. These were the words of Imam Shafi'i. But all of these great imams, my dear brothers and sisters, they had the same goal and aim: to direct us not only in fiqh, but in aqeedah, that our worship and our belief is according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next point is regarding Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, his call to take the texts, meaning the Qur'an and the Sunnah, on the zahir, meaning to take their apparent meanings. And this is an important point, my brothers and sisters, because it sheds light on how Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah treated the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Because there's a huge debate these days, even from people who claim to be Shafi'is, on whether we take the Qur'an and the Sunnah literally, or is it metaphorical, and are the names and attributes of Allah literal, or are they metaphorical? And some of you might be aware of the clash that exists between Ahlul Sunnah and the other sects regarding this. And you might even find people who are very staunch Shafi'i followers, but they misinterpret Allah's names and attributes and whatever else. But if they were truly Imam al-Shafi'i followers, let's see what Imam al-Shafi'i said. Is this not the just way? If we want to claim to follow an Imam, let us see the Imam's teachings. Regarding this, in his book Ar-Risala, one of his famous books, he said, the Qur'an is taken on its zahir, meaning on its apparent and literal meaning. He said, until there is proof from the Qur'an itself, or from the Sunnah, or the ijma', the consensus, which states it is not. So Imam al-Shafi'i is teaching us that the asl, the foundation, the origin of words from the Qur'an and the Sunnah are on their apparent meanings. So when you look into some of the so-called followers of Imam al-Shafi'i, we call them so-called followers, even if they follow his fiqh. But the reality is they are so-called following. Because to follow the great Imam is to follow him in everything. We say to them, the great Imam who you follow took the Qur'an on its apparent meaning. And he did not distort or twist or misinterpret anything from the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah. He also said in one of his famous statements, Al-Hadithu ala zahiri. The hadith is on its apparent meaning. We mention these points, my dear brothers and sisters, to show that Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah was one of the many of the great scholars of the Salaf who had all agreed on the one manhaj and aqidah. You would not find them differing in creed. They might, and they did have difference in fiqh, but matters of aqidah, such as especially major ones like these, no, they were all the same. Also regarding his affirming Allah's names and attributes, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said, the view of the Sunnah, which I am upon, and which I found others upon, such as Sufyan and Malik and others. Look who he's quoting. He's saying, the sunnah which I am upon and which I found others upon, such as who? Sufyan and Malik and Thawri, all mountains of the Salaf, my brothers and sisters. He said, and others. Okay, what's this sunnah, Imam al-Shafi'i, that you are upon? And you named all these great ulama. What's this sunnah that you are upon? He said, affirming the shahada of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, and that Allah is ala, above his throne, above the heavens. Subhanallah. These are the words of Imam al-Shafi'i. So it makes you scratch your head, my dear brother and sister, when you find a person who maybe, and I'm sorry if people feel or think that we're taking a hit at the so-called Shafi'i followers. La wallah, but this is deen, my brothers, and there's a lot of deception out there. But it makes you scratch your head when someone claims to be staunch in following a madhab or following Imam al-Shafi'i, but then he will deny that Allah is above the heavens. When Imam al-Shafi'i himself is saying, the sunnah which me and the others that I know of are on is that Allah Azza wa Jal ala arshi, above his throne, above the heavens. And then he continued and said, and he descends to the lowest heaven of the dunya, kayfa yasha. This is the aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah. So we say to our brothers and sisters, do not follow an imam in fiqh and then neglect his aqidah. You want to be a Shafi'i? By all means, you are following one of the greatest a'imma. We are not against following madhahib. Following madhahib is part of our deen. But how do you follow an imam in fiqh and then you turn a blind eye on his aqidah? And Sheikh Jalal would have touched up on the aqidah of Abu Hanifa, and Sheikh Bilal on the aqidah of Imam Malik, and our beloved Sheikh Kamal will touch up on the aqidah of Imam Ahmad. All of them the same, my brothers and sisters. So when you find yourself upon the manhaj and the creed of Ahlul Sunnah, then say Alhamdulillah, you are following the great imams greater than anyone else, because you are following them in fiqh and you are following them in creed. He also said in another statement that Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest heaven every night, as it is mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he spoke about Tawheed many times. In one of the famous statements, Imam al-Shafi'i said, I asked Imam Malik about Tawheed. Pay attention. A great imam asking another great imam. I asked Imam Malik about Tawheed, and Imam Malik said to me, it is impossible that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his ummah how to clean themselves in the bathroom, and he did not teach them Tawheed. And Tawheed is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. How clear are these words? How clear are these words? And this is another important point, my dear brothers and sisters. Because from the deviant sect are those who try to claim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach the reality of knowledge, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only spoke to the Sahaba in a very simple way, and he did not explain everything to the Sahaba, accusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wal'iyadhu billah of withholding knowledge from his ummah. So look at Imam Malik's words. It's impossible. He will teach the ummah how to clean themselves, and he won't teach them the most important thing, their tawheed. And this shows that these great imams understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught everything that was needed to the ummah, from what they need to believe to how to clean themselves in the bathroom. In another one of his statements regarding Tawheed, when he spoke about Salah, he said, Salah is the clearest of obligations after Tawheed of Allah. Look, Salah is the greatest obligation after the Tawheed of Allah. This statement from Imam al-Shafi'i, it refutes people who claim to follow Imam al-Shafi'i. Without getting into too much detail, my dear brothers and sisters, because of our time, another huge mas'ala that came out in Islam was, what is the first obligation on a servant? You as a person, what's the first thing you have to have? If I was to ask any of you here, can anyone tell me, what's the first obligation on a servant? Excellent. Tawheed, shahada. The Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Certain sects came out and they said no. The first obligation is ma'rifah, to know the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. So they opposed Ahl Sunnah. Ahl Sunnah says the first obligation is Tawheed. Others said no, the first obligation is an-nazar, to look and then to know Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam al-Shafi'i, who I guarantee you many of them follow, in fiqh, what did he say? Salah is the greatest obligation after Tawheed. What does this tell us? That Imam al-Shafi'i, just like the rest of our a'immah, they knew that the first obligation upon the servant is Tawheed. And Imam al-Shafi'i, if you want to know his methodology, you look into his students also and their teachings. The Shafi'iyya from Khurasan, regarding shirk, they said the grave is not to be wiped or kissed or touched for blessings, as this is the practice of the Christians. And this opposes the deviant from the ghulat of the Sufiyya, the extreme Sufis, and the Rafida, who take it as a worship to wipe graves and whatever else. This is what the true Shafi'iyya are teaching us, that these actions are not from Islam. And Imam al-Shafi'i, regarding worship itself, he taught us that it is taken from the Kitab and the Sunnah. In other words, we do not innovate in our religion. He said, Allah has made worship upon His servants from His book and upon the tongue of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, worship cannot be taken from anything else. It is taken from the Kitab and the Sunnah. And the last thing I leave you with, my dear brothers, is one of many statements where Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah would refute anyone who put the opinions of men over the Kitab and the Sunnah. And one of the clearest examples of this is when he mentioned a fiqh matter in one of his books. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he mentioned a mas'ala in fiqh, and he mentioned the proof from the Qur'an, and then he mentioned the proof from the Sunnah. Then after it, he mentioned some opinions for some men. for some of the ulama. Then after that, he said, we did not mention the opinions of these men, because he mentioned the dalil from the Quran, then the sunnah, then the opinions of men. He then said, we did not mention the opinions of the men, because they increase the sunnah in strength, nor would they reduce from the sunnah. He said, but we only mentioned the opinions of the men seeking reward to help those who read our book and what we have written, so that it would hopefully suffice their hearts. So who's he talking about? People that might not be content with what's in the Quran and the Sunnah only. He said, so I added some views of the men, so that those people who are reading, it will suffice their hearts. Then he said, and if the ghafla was removed from them, and the ghafla here means, what's a proper translation, Sheikh Jalal, of ghafla? The ghafla removed from them.
Yeah, normally it's heedlessness.
Heedlessness. Non-clarity. Ahsan. Jazakallahu khairan. See, we benefit from our mashayikh, alhamdulillah, sitting here. If the heedlessness, non-clarity was removed from them, look what he's saying about these people. He said they would be the same as us in being sufficed with the Quran and the Sunnah. Meaning, me, Imam al-Shafi'i, the Quran and the Sunnah is enough for me. But I've only added these views for the others. And inshallah, when that heedlessness is removed from them, the Quran and the Sunnah will be enough for them, just like it's enough for us. Does it get any clearer than this, my dear brothers and sisters? This is a small light that is shed on the aqidah and the manhaj, or the methodology of this great Imam al-Shafi'i. And may Allah reward you all for your attendance and your patience with us tonight.